I would usually say at this point, as you see in your bulletin, but I forgot to put the gospel lesson in the bulletin. So I'm going to have to announce it to you today. So the gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark's gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. 11, 1 to 11. That's an interesting thing. This is Mark's version of the Palm Sunday celebration. Now, Mark pretty much is a consensus among scholars. Mark was written first. So this is the earliest account that we have of Palm Sunday. So as you hear these ancient but familiar words, listen for something new that may be being spoken into your life, into your heart on this day. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door and outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them that what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had been cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, news alert. News alert. Today is Palm Sunday. Did you know that? Did you know? What gave it away? Anything? Well, y'all are sharp folks. Y'all are sharp folks. Today is Palm Sunday. Today is the first day of what the church calls Holy Week. Holy Week begins today. It's a time we set aside to remember the events that transpired the last week of Jesus' earthly life. And it runs through next Saturday, Holy Saturday. Now, as I think about Palm Sunday, as I think about the week that lies ahead of us, for me, the goal of this week, for me personally, and I think for the church in general, is to place ourselves in that Palm Sunday story. Huh. In other words, to claim the story. It's our story, folks. The Palm Sunday story, the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem is our story. Right? After all, now, of course, we do that every single week. Really, that's the point of being here today, and every day we gather to hear the story. It might be the call of the fisherman. That's our story. It might be the parable of the Good Samaritan. That's our story. The healing of the paralyzed man, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the turning of water into wine. How great is that? That's our story. That's our story. We gather in order to find ourselves in the story. Because once we find ourselves in the story, we can begin to be transformed by the story, our story. Okay, today's Palm Sunday. Today is a day that Jesus comes to town, right? Sure. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not John. John's an outlier there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is the first time Jesus has been to Jerusalem in his ministry. First time. Folks there have not seen him. They've heard about him. They want to see him. This is their first chance. He's finally here. He's finally here. We watch as they scream with excitement. We watch as they come to the realization that this one who's coming into their city is the one that holds a key. The one that can change everything. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Okay, it's Sunday morning. Historians' best guess is that it was the 2nd of April. The year was 30. It's complicated how that's figured. Basically, we know when Pontius Pilate, we tie him to the story. He was in Judea from about 25 to 35 A.D. Jesus, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is crucified on Passover. It's a lunar holiday. You can study the phase of the moon. You can find out when it happened on a Friday, the year 30. Back up a week from Easter, and you get to Palm Sunday, the 2nd of April. Okay, let's put ourselves in the scene for just a second. We're standing on the top of the Mount of Olives, overlooking the old city of Jerusalem. You come over from the desert, basically from the Dead Sea. You come over through Bethany. You crest the top of the hill. You're on the Mount of Olives. Straight ahead of you is the old city of Jerusalem. The temple's right out before you. You go down the Mount of Olives. You cross the Kidron Valley. You go up into the Temple Mount. Incredible scene, incredible scene. We're standing on the top of the mountain now, looking across, it's about a mile across, probably a couple miles across. The temple complex is spread out before us. People are coming and going at a frenzied pace, pilgrims from everywhere. It's a week of Passover, and folks have come from across the Mediterranean world to celebrate Passover, right? To celebrate God's grace, to celebrate God's providence, to celebrate God's deliverance. It's an exciting day. It's an exciting day. We're excited because we're standing on holy ground. We've come to town. We're standing on holy ground, ground on which the prophets stood, ground on which David and Solomon walked, the ground on which the temple, where the Holy of Holies lies, where God's presence is understood to dwell. When we've heard all the stories, we know the story. We've heard them since we were kids about this place. Well, as we look around, the streets are narrow, the buildings are stone blocked, the air is dusty, the place is rocking. Now remember, first century Jerusalem was a good-sized city. It's been estimated by some that as many as 100,000 full-time residents lived there. That's a pretty good-sized city in the ancient world. You know, give or take a few. Okay, try to picture this. Passover, this town of 100,000, according to some, may have swelled to 1 million people. What do you do with 900,000 visitors? It's not easy. Where do you stay? What do you eat? Well, maybe we'll camp out. We'll camp out in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's right there, not far away. We'll get to that story later in the week. Okay, all of a sudden, this week-long religious Woodstock has got people all worked up, all bent out of shape. Anybody here with Woodstock? Oh, Danny was there. That's right, Danny was there. All right. You're gathered in this place, and you're celebrating Passover, and you think about how the Romans have brutalized you. And then before the Romans, the Syrians, before the Syrians, the Greeks, before the Greeks, the Persians, before the Persians, the Babylonians. It's been a mess, and you've had it up to here. We've had it up to here. We've had it with the brutality and the oppression and the hopelessness. The only thing that keeps us going is a hope that God's going to do something about it. God will deliver us from the misery we call life. Now, a million of us have come to town to celebrate Passover. Passover, a holiday that celebrates God's deliverance. Deliverance from bondage and oppression, brutality. So we gather in this climate of discontent and frustration, and we rehearse the story again. The story about a time when our ancestors were slaves in a faraway land. And God did something. God did something to change things. God called a man named Moses. And we remember that story. As we tell the story, our collective hearts begin to beat a little bit faster, you know, because we hope that God's going to do it again. God's going to do something. God's going to send someone. He's going to anoint someone, an anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, like Moses maybe, or maybe one of the kings like David. Could this be the year? It could be. It could be. Now try to take this all in. It's Passover. There's an anti-crowd of a million partygoers. People are looking desperately for a new deliverer who tradition says will gather his forces on the cricket, Mount of Olives. All right. You heard it just a moment ago. Danny read it clearly. Let me remind you of that ancient text. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Then the Lord my God will come. And all the holy ones with him. On that day, living water shall flow out from Jerusalem, and the Lord will become king over all the earth. And on that day, the Lord will be one and his name one. On that glorious day, the anointed one will come down the Mount of Olives and take the ancient city by storm. Well, it's into this religiously charged scene, atmosphere, that Jesus makes his entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, right? On the road that enters the city from the east. He's coming from the east, from the Dead Sea, from Jericho. He's coming over the mountain that way. Now, Jesus knew exactly what he's doing. This is not by chance. Jesus is saying, I'm doing this, and this is how I'm going to do it. He comes in from the east. Pontius Pilate and his message, Jesus bringing the message of the kingdom of God. From the west comes Pilate, bringing his message of the kingdom of the world. He's coming from Caesarea Maritima, which is on the coast, and they're going to collide at the temple. Pilate's bringing 10,000 of his troops. 10,000 of his troops. He's coming to tell the people in Judea, don't get your hopes up. You know, he's saying, this is not your year. This is not your year. But Jesus is bringing a different message. He said, the time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Believe. Wow. He stops at the top of the mountain, and he orders one of his followers to go across into Jerusalem and get a donkey. With these simple instructions, the prophecy continues to unfold, the Zechariah prophecy. We just heard part of it, but here in chapter 9, you hear these words. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious as he, humble and riding on a donkey. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of this world, Jesus, Pontius Pilate, colliding. This was the last sign the crowds need. They flocked to him. They flocked to Jesus, and as he made his way down the Mount of Olives, they threw their coats on the ground in front, reminiscent of a coronation of a king. The red carpet treatment. They broke branches off the trees, spread them before Jesus. The gospel writer John is the only one that tells us they were palm branches, and that's where we get the word Palm Sunday. Well, as Jesus and his entourage passed by, the masses of people who lined the street began to shout. They began to cheer with joy. Hosanna, which just simply means save us now. It's a cry for relief. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The whole thing is a collision of worlds. You know, it's an incredible scene, an incredible day. Friends, that's what we're remembering and celebrating today. This is the excitement and awe that we're trying to recreate, relive in our worship experience. You know, through singing, the waving of palm branches, self-reflection, prayer. The celebration on that dusty road leading into Jerusalem, down the Mount of Olives, is our story, right? That's our story. The joy that they felt is the one we need to engender in our own hearts, in the depth of our souls. You know, back on Ash Wednesday, which seems like an eternity ago, we were talking about the meaning of Lent. Lent is about encountering God in our lives. On the mountain that day, the crowds knew that they were in the presence of God. The presence of the sacred. He was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was God's agent of change. A collision of worlds, a collision of visions, a collision that can change your life. And it still is. It still is. An encounter with holiness, an encounter with the sacred, an encounter with the kingdom of God is transformative. That's our story. That's why we're here. The great Presbyterian preacher and author John Killinger once wrote these words. People in the pews, all right, people up here need to experience Christ as he is mediated through those who are living together in his presence and making sense of their world through his teachings. That's what we're trying to do, right? That's what we're trying to do as a church. We're trying to make sense out of our lives and of this world through the person and ministry of Christ. That's the lens through which we try to view things, right? You know, we're trying to make his presence real and tangible. And, you know, we're the body of Christ. That's what we say. That's the theme of our story. And today we try to make sense of it. Think about it. We all have those family stories that we tell over and over and over again. Usually it's on a special occasion. Maybe Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, something. And we say, this is who we are. Well, today's a special occasion. Today we're retelling the story again. They brought the colt to Jesus, right? They threw their cloaks on it and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, Kids are funny things. Kids are funny creatures, right? We got any kids here today that are? Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, they're funny things. I don't know why, but they're just funny to me. They say things that make me laugh. Even when they don't intend to be funny, they're funny. When my kids were young, which is a long time ago, they never ceased to crack me up. They never ceased. For example, when mealtime would roll around at the Minnick house, the first thing out of everyone's mouth was, "What are we having for dinner?" Every single day. That's what came out of their mouth, you know. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's not the funny part. No, wait. In our house, and I will not say her name. Oh, I will not say a name. All right. This was never satisfying. That response was never satisfying. You know, just it never ended with that inquiry. No, no matter what this person, this young person heard, they had to follow up. They needed more detail about this. Now, remember, what we're having for dinner was the initial inquiry, okay? Well, we're having chicken. That's what we're having. Now, this is what cracked me up. Almost without fail, the first words out of the little mouth was what? And? Well, I think we'll have some potatoes with the chicken. And? Well, we'll have some broccoli. And? Rolls. And it went on and on and on until we had finished dinner. And this. And it went beyond food in this young person's life. If you would tell her a compelling story that got her heart and mind racing, it was guaranteed that she was not going to be satisfied with any ending to the story. No way. No way. She was going to respond to the compelling story with these words. And then what happened? And then what happened? What did they do then? Where did they go? Was everybody okay? She just had to know. It was that important to her. And it was a great question, and it could not be ignored. She would not let you ignore the question. No. In fact, it's still a great question. Still a great question. In fact, it's a perfect Palm Sunday question, isn't it? They welcomed Jesus to town. First time he's been there. They welcomed him into their lives. They cheered for him. They called to him. They waved to him. They wanted to be. It's not good just to look back like that on the story. No. Friday and Easter and Pentecost even. Before we can give a lot of detail on that question. Even that's not going to. And we know what happened, right? The church happened. The church happened after Jesus came to town. Now jump ahead a few centuries from that. Jump ahead, I don't know, about 18 centuries, right? From that day. And then what happened? Pleasant Grove happened. Then jump ahead about 150 years after that. And Danny Sullivan happened. And Lucinda Sullivan happened. Where is she over there? Cindy Hardy happened back there. And Bill Sperry happened. And jump ahead and Todd Bates happened. And you go on. You happened. Right? The church happened. Today is Palm Sunday, right? Jesus has arrived. And the question is going up again. As we look into the future of this church. And then what happened? Well, we'll see, won't we? Because if it's up to us to write the rest of the story. Thanks be to God. Amen.